I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Together with the Republicans in Congress, we've removed nearly 300,000 illegal aliens from the Social Security roll. And we've removed more than 100,000 migrants from Medicare eligibility. 100,000, and the number's going up. What we're really doing is saving Social Security because it was so rife with fraud and the Democrats didn't care. They couldn't care less. All they care about is Trump derangement syndrome. They are sick. They are lunatics. We're dealing with lunatics. You can do, but I've learned, you know, with time, I've learned if I want something, I go the opposite. In other words, if I want the wall, I say I will not under any circumstances.
There's Donald Trump talking about 300,000 illegals taken off your Social Security rolls. Money due you. You paid into Social Security. It is not a so-called entitlement. It is your money. But illegals coming into the country in California and other blue states were able to register for Social Security payments. And they were getting health care benefits that you could probably use to help you and your family. Rampant fraud, and they did not care on the left. They do not care about Americans, either as a taxpayer or a vote, unless you're going to do it their way. And their way is often going to be illegal and or an opportunity to enrich yourself. And under the Biden administration, you just simply got away with it. But now the accountability is hitting. Some have already been tried and jailed on some of these charges. But we have so much more that's been going on. And stripping 300,000 illegals from Social Security payments, that's a good start. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. We're here with you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, you can also watch the program. Go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast later. Just in case you can't stay with us the entire 2 hours, you can go back and pull up the podcast. And I think you really want to do that today because one of the stories we have in this second hour picks up on a story we had in the first hour. We have started some months ago, I want to say even before the first of the year, something called The Story Behind the Story in the 6 o'clock hour. It may or may not be a story that I was involved in covering directly, and it might or might not be something of historical notice. Sometimes it's a personal story. But today we were focusing on the era of the Concorde jet, that droop-nosed jet that could fly you across the Atlantic in maybe 3 hours, three and a half tops, at 60,000 feet. We discussed it in great detail in the previous hour. So if you missed that hour, I encourage you to go back and pull up hour number one of today's program of Larry Connors USA. And in this hour, we're going to talk about part of the issues fighting against the Concorde jet as France and Britain came together to make this Mach 2 supersonic jet. And part of that involved the sonic booms. And many in this nation did not want that happening across our nation. And it was not just the USA that was against it. But of course, they had that tragic crash in 2000 that did not help the situation. And then shortly behind that came 9/11, again taking money and attention away from the Concorde effort. We'll get into that in more detail for you later in this hour, but you definitely want to go back and pull up the first hour in case you missed it. Let me take a moment to remind you, your cell phone is your radio. I was talking to someone the other day and said, I love your app. He said, I was just able to open it up and listen. And I said, where were you? Well, he said, I was within range of your signals, but I took your idea and recognizing that I can open up the app on my phone. You can get the app for free, Newstalk STL. And I could then play it through the Bluetooth in my car. He said, you have stated, and I agree, that some of your signals sometimes, while they're great, there are differences in variations between weather conditions and other situations that might affect that radio signal. They are great FM signals, two of them. But at the same time, you could get in some areas where the signal might drop out. That's why if you download the app, Newstalk STL, on your phone, absolutely free at your app store, Newstalk STL, then you can open it up, and whatever program is on the air when you open to start listening, you'll be hearing at that point. And you can play it through the Bluetooth speakers in your car. Which raises a question. Who out there has a radio in their home anymore? I don't have a radio, except for my phone. And that's your connection to us all the time. Newstalk STL, wherever you are. Get the app. Make use of it. Supreme Court coming undone in part because of remarks made by one of the members. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Her remarks after the Louisiana redistricting dispute the other day. Justice Alito, I would say, took her to the shed. I will leave that for you. We'll discuss that in more detail in a little bit later. But he said her remarks were utterly irresponsible. That's strong language coming from a member of the Supreme Court to another member of the Supreme Court. Oh, but you had to allow some for Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson because if you recall, during her confirmation hearings, she could not really tell you what a woman was, remember? Dr. Oz, who's overseeing our Medicaid and Medicare disbursements in our nation, says we've been looking into all the hospice fraud just in California and in particular L.A.
This is massive fraud. Now, we've already delisted 450 hospices. That is an unbelievably large number. And guess what? In that first tranche, no one's complained. No one's calling us and saying, no, we are innocent. They know they got caught. They're just going to go off and scam somebody else, which is what's happening, by the way. There's been a sevenfold increase of hospices in Nevada. People flee from California to Nevada. These scumbags just rinse and repeat. They're going to Arizona. They're going to Texas.
Mamet, why don't you throw them in jail? Just throw them in jail. I mean, put them in the pokey.
This is a big, big decision point. When you try to put people in the pokey, it takes years of careful investigations. That's how the system is built. But you know what I can do right now, Larry? I can stop paying you. And when we tell several hundred hospices, we're no longer paying you, guess what they do? They shut their doors and they run away.
They shut their doors and run away. And that is true. You stop the payments, they're not going to stay open anymore. Because they're only there for the payments, not to help Americans. Dr. Oz speaking to Larry Kudlow.
Let's get into the root cause of this problem. Nobody was paying attention. And when thieves steal, they corrupt the entire society. So these busts that you're witnessing here, conducted by Billy Asile, who's the U.S. attorney out there, are the first major efforts to show the people of Los Angeles that we are serious about this problem, which is wanton, out-of-control, rabid fraud, not just in hospice, by the way. There's also personal care services and other areas we'll get into. But let me put the numbers out there so everyone's clear. One in three hospices in America are in Los Angeles, not California, LA. One in three. I mean, how many people are dying there? Obviously, it's fraudulent. You have doctors selling their souls, basically, their license number, to open multiple hospice relationships. They dishonestly claim people are dying when they're not. If they steal your money, they will steal your life. They don't care at all about you.
They don't care about you. One in three were in L.A. And not talking about the whole state of California, but inside L.A. They were established simply to collect money, steal from the government. And how many Democrats had to know this was going on and did nothing? Look at Minneapolis, Minnesota. Minnesota Governor Walz is facing some real outcry, and rightly so, and possibly you might be able to link into criminal charges about how the money was abused and stolen within his state, mostly involving the Somalia community. But you know what he just did? He just fired the head of the state agency that oversees disbursement of social services program funding, such as Medicaid and housing. Just fired her yesterday, because today she was to be officially confirmed for that position. It put her in that position back in 2025. And so she's been there and in charge. But the heat has gotten so hot. This way he can say, look, when I realized what was going on, I got rid of her. That does not lessen the heat, in my opinion. It turns it up. We'll see how that plays out. As I mentioned, the story behind the story in our first hour, the Concorde jet, it faced numerous issues. And of course, then there was that disaster in France.
The official French crash report concluded that the piece of metal on the runway had exposed vulnerabilities to Concorde's fuel tanks and tires. Air France and British Airways grounded their aircraft, while expensive safety modifications were made. They were relaunched in November 2001, but the world had moved on. 2 months before, the attacks on New York's Twin Towers had claimed 2,700 lives. Air travel lost its appeal, and demand for business flights into New York plummeted. Concorde was crossing the Atlantic almost completely empty. Added to that, maintenance costs were soaring. And so in April 2003, Concorde's retirement was announced.
It's the end for Concorde after 30 years of supersonic flying. British Airways and Air France will retire the plane in 6 months' time.
And it was a shame, you know, when you heard the story that it was going to be taken out of service. What a bad day that was. That was horrible. Nobody liked that at all.
Over the next 6 months, there was a rush to take a last flight on Concorde. Every seat was sold, and more flights were added.
More flights even added to accommodate the rush of passengers who wanted a chance. Depending on the design, the Concorde they might be on could have anywhere from 92 to 128 passengers. But it was not just the crash in October, or I should say in 2000 near Paris. That was a major event. But as you heard, they also had the high operating cost and everything that happened after 9/11. But there was an issue facing Concorde even before that in the U.S. in the 70s. Intense public opposition to loud sonic booms and airport noise. Congress and local authorities, notably in New York, tried to block its operation. There were legal battles that all went all the way to the Supreme Court to lift the New York City ban in late 77. It was ruled that the Air France and British Airways ban was discriminatory and unfair. So they did begin service at Washington Dulles Airport on May 24th, 1976. Even after the noise bans were lifted, federal legislation did continue to prohibit supersonic flight over the U.S., meaning the Concorde would have to fly at subsonic speeds if it crossed our nation. So they were still trying to keep the plane flying. But the booms of those sonic flights, even in test flights, would startle people, causing windows to crack. If you've ever been near a military base where they have fighter jets taking off from time to time, they're basically under restrictions to keep your speed down over civilian areas. But you can get in some areas and catch at least a distant rumble, if not a more severe rumble. then you had those claiming that the Concorde was affecting the ozone level. And it was not just the U.S. And keep in mind, breaking the sound barrier even at 60,000 feet was creating protests at airports and picket lines in some runways. In 1972, when the aircraft landed at Sydney Airport, there were a group of demonstrators calling for it to be banned for their region. And before the ban was lifted and slots were awarded to JFK, both Air France and British Airways were looking for other uses. They already knew that if they're going to fly to the U.S., they could only fly into the U.S. They could not go across the U.S. at Mach 2 speed. They started looking at service to Bahrain and Singapore. But they had troubles in Singapore, again, because of the sonic boom. And crossing India to reach Singapore was a suitable option, but India refused to allow it to fly supersonic over its airspace. They developed it. Many people enjoyed it that did fly it. More wanted to, as you heard in those closing days, once they announced they were going to be shutting down. They had to schedule more flights so people could have a chance to fly on it. And it was not cheap. They did consider at one time developing a Concorde just for business class travel. And I don't mean the business class in the jets you're used to, but only high-end business people would be on board. Everything was against the Concorde despite the efforts to create a plane that would fly at Mach 2. Coming up, more on the battle inside the Supreme Court between Justice Jackson and Justice Alito and the others. And also the fraud inside the Southern Poverty Law Center. Again, this is one of the more amazing pieces of fraud carried out by Democrats, liberals. A case where they want you to give money to support their cause. But then they realize they might have already won their cause and their enemies have been vanquished. So what do they do? Well, why don't we recreate our enemies and feed money to them so we have a boogeyman to fight against? That's exactly what the Southern Poverty Law Center did. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
40 years ago, the Southern Poverty Law Center bankrupted the Klan and later recovered millions from neo-Nazi groups with lawsuits representing victims of violence. But Tuesday, the tables turned. The Justice Department charged the organization with fraud for allegedly misleading donors and lying to financial institutions by paying members of violent extremist groups millions of dollars to act as informants.
The SPLC was not dismantling these groups. It was instead manufacturing the extremism it purports to oppose by paying sources to stoke racial hatred.
Including the indictment alleges a leader of the 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, who, quote, attended the event at the direction of SPLC, made racist postings under the supervision of the SPLC, and helped coordinate transportation to the event for several attendees. But Law Center interim president Brian Fair said the group had long used informants and called the indictment a political attack by the Trump administration.
They have made no secret of who they want to protect and who they want to destroy.
You have to wonder if this
attorney Scott Fredrickson questioned the Justice Department's legal theories.
Can the federal government persuade a jury that the Southern Poverty Law Center was out there funding extremism for its own purposes, manufacturing racism? That's hard to believe. Obviously, they'll have their day in court.
But there have been calls to investigate the Law Center for years. In 1995, the Montgomery Advertiser was the finalist for the Pulitzer Prize for articles alleging that the center was misleading donors and wasting their money. And more recently, critics say that its hate watch list of extremists includes many mainstream conservatives. Tony?
Jen, thank you very much.
That's a report, of course, on the charges against the Southern Poverty Law Center. April 21st is when the Department of Justice announced a federal indictment in Alabama against the Southern Poverty Law Center. 11-count indictment, as you heard, engaged in a long-term scheme to defraud donors by using millions of dollars of contributions to pay, quote, confidential informants inside the KKK and other groups. Do you think anybody that was giving to the Southern Poverty Law Center thinking they were fighting against racial hatred and the Klan and so forth, you think they would have given a dime if they knew that your money was going to be used to go to a KKK member who was supposedly going to be an informant? 6 counts of wire fraud that the Southern Poverty Law Center misled donors regarding how the money was going to be used. 4 counts of bank fraud, false statements to banks using shell accounts like Tech Writers Group and Rare Books Warehouse to funnel money to these so-called informants. Conspiracy to commit money laundering. Anytime you start setting up a shell account, you're opening the door for all of these charges. And they're estimating by the prosecution's statement at this point, at least 8 informants got $3 million. That's a lot of information coming from informants, $3 million worth. But the whole idea was to keep people believing there's racism out here. We got to put a stop to it. There's a lady that parks near me, and she has on her van, "Stop Racism," which I agree with. And also on her van, "Black Lives Matter." I thought, you just stepped over the line. Said, "Stop Racism," and then you want to tell me Black Lives Matter solely, because that's what it says, black lives. They do, but so do other lives. So if you're fighting racism, why would you single out saying Black Lives Matter instead of All Lives Matter? Because that's what they try to do. They try to turn around and use it against you. And in this case, they were actually using the money against the very targets that they supposedly were collecting to use. They were handing them the money. If you asked members of the Southern Poverty Law Center donation group, how about you send $100 to the KKK? Will you do that? Do you think they would? Of course not. But why did they do it? Well, they felt they had to do it. Because we don't have a boogeyman to fight anymore. If we don't cry racism enough and point to people that are clearly, quote, racist, ignoring our own reflection in the mirror, then we won't get the money. And that brings me to remarks by Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson regarding the Louisiana redistricting case. Ruled by the Supreme Court, she was a lone dissenter, 8-1, that the Louisiana map was gerrymandered on racial profile. Not numbers, not even politics, but race. So she made a remark, and she quickly got fired back on by Justice Alito. She was claiming that this was going to take everything back to Jim Crow era, and saying that's what the high court just ended up doing. Now, when I said she was a lone dissenting vote, I did not mean, I misstated that. She was not the only dissenting vote. Two others also dissented as well. 6-3 decision. What I meant was that she was using her remarks in such a way that she was calling that this was going to turn the country back to the Jim Crow era. And the remarks from Justice Alito in response to what she said, he tore into Ketanji Brown Jackson, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, saying her arguments were baseless and insulting. Alito wrote, her dissent, goes on to claim that our decision represents an unprincipled use of power, adding that that was a groundless and utterly irresponsible charge. Jackson claims the Supreme Court was involved in overreach and basically favoring Donald Trump. The High Court's order was going to allow Louisiana officials to move quickly forward without changing their congressional map, but making it clear that the map as it was drawn was basically gerrymandered on race. And those against it say this was disrupting the Voting Rights Act. And that's when Ketanji Brown Jackson went over the line. And Alito wrote that the dissent accuses the court of unshackling itself from constraints. It is the dissent's rhetoric that lacks restraint. Now, those words don't sound that harsh, but when you consider it's a Supreme Court justice addressing a fellow colleague on the high court, they're extremely strong. Jonathan Turley, a Fox News analyst, George Washington law professor, said this tone of Alito suggests a deeper internal friction. I think he's right. And Turley stated in one piece he wrote, Justice Alito had had enough. He noted that her reliance on the 32-day period was a trivial objection that put form above substance, since no party had asked for reconsideration. It would be waiting for 32 days for no purpose, while the other parties had stated a reasonable and pressing need, finalize the opinion so we can get forward, moving forward with what we're going to do in Louisiana. The Supreme Court does have a procedural rule that allows 32 days before judgment is officially sent down to the lower courts. Jackson was claiming that that's how the court went off the rails. Alito said, no, the rule is flexible. It's intended primarily to allow time for rehearsing, or rather rehearing, petitions. And neither side signaled, we need more time. She is, of course, the newest member of the Supreme Court. And I would say also the least qualified. But Justice Alito, to quote Jonathan Turley again, had had enough. How a woman, black, white, Democrat, Republican, gets on the Supreme Court when she cannot even answer a confirmation hearing, what is a woman, how she even gets to the court, is beyond answer. But it happened during the Biden era. That's how it happened. And she's going to face a lot of cases involving, quote, women. Will she be able to know what a woman is? Coming up, a Republican claims to be Republican, says, many of you who voted for Trump, you won't even admit you know him in the next 5 to 10 years. That's part of what we have before we wrap up this hour.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The White House briefly went under lockdown after a suspect allegedly shot at Secret Service just four blocks away. Here by the Washington Monument, the Secret Service said officers spotted a gun and tried to stop a man who allegedly fled and fired in the direction of the Secret Service.
Not long before this shooting occurred, the vice president's motorcade did transit through this area.
Officers returned fire, hitting the suspect. A young bystander also was struck in the crossfire.
It's a juvenile, did not sustain any life-threatening injuries, but he's also receiving treatment at the hospital.
And that is a report on that gunman shot near the Washington Memorial yesterday, Washington Monument, I should state. And as you heard in the report, he had been seen with a gun, and as they tried to contact him, he ran from them and then turned and fired in the direction of agents and officers. They returned fire. No report on the condition of the man being shot. He is obviously in custody. A child described only as a juvenile was also hit by a bullet during that exchange of gunfire. Not clear which bullet from which gun shot the child. But all this playing out following the White House Correspondents' Dinner. The reason the word Texas slipped in there is because I was thinking, I don't know if I told you again that the guy they're now identifying is from Texas. Yes, Texas has its fill of crazies as well. And this guy went all the way to D.C. and decided to carry out something. We don't know what yet. But if he's going to shoot at Secret Service agents, I think you get an idea. There are so many in this nation right now that believe violence is an acceptable form of not just fighting back, but just criticism. Charlie Kirk died at the end of an assassin's rifle. Trump was almost assassinated on a campaign stop before he got elected. And now we have additional threats against him. And there is one remark from one guy that I think stands out more than even the seashell incident of James Comey. And this guy, I think, should also be indicted or charged. I think there might be reason for it, but let me lay it out for you. This is the guy that owns a brewing company in Minnesota. I should correct that, Wisconsin. And he is now announcing that he's going to run for governor of Wisconsin because he said, I think we need a battle-hardened fighter to join the rest of our nation to save our democracy from the Trump regime. This guy and the brewing company he owns, I'm not going to mention the name of it. You can look it up if you want. I could care less. His brewery had advertised free beer in the event of Donald Trump's death. Now, he had made the offer prior to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And then he followed up with a post said, well, we almost got a hashtag free beer day. Either a brother or sister in the resistance needs to work on their marksmanship, or he, talking about Trump, faked another assassination to get positive news cycle. We'll never know. Regardless, we stand ready to pour free beer the day it happens. If that's not advocate and encouraging, kill the president, I don't know what does. I mean, that goes well beyond, in my opinion, former FBI Director Comey taking pictures of shells on the beach, which he says he just found and he didn't know the meaning. Lie, lie. And this guy advertising free beer the day Trump dies. There is a politician who calls himself a Republican, but his actions are not inside the Republican era that I know. They are way outside. In fact, they are really into the left. But he thinks he's pretty special stuff. He served as an Illinois congressman. Some of you listening might have voted for him. Adam Kinzinger. You know what he says about you if you voted for Trump? Just listen.
I just feel that I feel bad for the people that are being misled down this path. But I guarantee you something, and I know this. In 5 or 10 years, there won't be a single person left in this country that will ever admit to supporting Donald Trump, except for those that have their stuff all over Twitter. Because I think the speed at which he's spiraling, I mean, we're a year and a half into him. The speed at which he's spiraling, I think, is just going to increase. And eventually people are going to be like, yeah, we've had enough.
We've had enough. But for him to state, Adam Kinzinger, who left Congress, decided not to run again. And of course, he was really big on the January 6th. He was a member of the committee that got selected by Nancy Pelosi. She said, it's bipartisan. We have Henry Kinzinger of Illinois. He's a Republican. He's on it. But they wouldn't let the Republicans on that Republicans wanted on the committee. They let this lackey get on the board, the committee. And now he's saying, I do believe that in 5 to 10 years, folks are not even going to admit that they voted for Donald Trump. Let me repeat his statement again. I guarantee you something, and I know this. In 5 or 10 years, there won't be a single person, even if he said only one person, but he didn't say that. He said there won't be a single person left in the country that will ever admit to supporting Donald Trump. Except for those who have their stuff all over Twitter and so forth. By the way, there's a battle going on inside the Democrat Party. Boy, that does tear me up, but I'm going to share it with you. It's focusing on California. The Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee added a California State Assembly member and 7 other Democrats to its Red to Blue program. That's a de facto endorsement that also gives a candidate they choose extra money to fight against GOP incumbents. But at the same time they did that, supporting one candidate over another Democrat, they're going against a selection Bernie Sanders was backing. And progressives are saying, we disagree with our Democrat Congressional Committee campaign. They're tipping the scales in this race. That's from the Progressive Caucus PAC leaders. They've endorsed the guy that Bernie Sanders thinks is definitely the right person for California. So you got Democrats in California divided and fighting, and they're afraid that they will end up losing to the incumbent Republican. Then they might well. I hope they do. But I love the infighting inside their own party. Every party has it. I'm not going to say it's just the Democrats. Oh, I want to ask you a question. Not even going to ask how much you paid for gasoline today. But depending on where you bought it, do you know how much you paid in taxes? Or regardless if you're listening to me in Louisiana, D.C., Hawaii, California, you still have a federal tax on gasoline. What would you think about a federal tax holiday on gasoline? And is the Iran war at a point now where Trump would consider that? And how much would it mean to you? We'll take a look at that. And before that, yesterday, President Trump was honoring and celebrating small business in our nation. His support means a lot to those businesses.
I just want to say he's amazing. He's done so much. I mean, so much for all of us. I mean, the backbone of this country is small business, plain and simple. And the last guy in office, all we heard was is that we were the evil people. We were the bad people, everything else like that. We don't pay our fair share, whatever that's supposed to be. And he made it tough. And this guy, the big, beautiful bill, absolutely amazing. You know what I mean? God bless you for letting me get 100% appreciation. It really helps out. All I can say is this is literally, I mean, I'm a history buff and I know a lot about this White House thing and everything. Literally, he's going to go down as maybe the best president ever. I love this guy.
You think that guy would be found 5-10 years from now admitting he just said that, according to Adam Kinzinger of Illinois? That's Rick Harrison, host of the Hardcore Pawn Shop show. Another small business. And of course, if you have a small business and you have to buy gasoline to fuel your trucks, your equipment, you might be feeling a pinch more than the average driver would. There's talk of maybe having a federal tax holiday. That's being sparked more because of the increase in cost right now. But I've told you, and you should understand, they're going to fluctuate as long as the Iran situation exists. And I want to re-stress to you, our issue in Iran and the Strait of Hormuz is not just oil prices coming and going benefiting Iran or the U.S., but Iran continuing to get money for their oil and gas to continue building their nuclear project, the weapons project. Every gallon of gasoline that you buy has a federal excise tax, 18.4 cents a gallon for gasoline, 24.4 cents per gallon for diesel. It's been unchanged since 1993. So many are saying this is a perfect time to, one, either roll it back or take a holiday from it. These are populist proposals from high-profile Democrats because they're wanting to point out that you have to do it because Trump has set the market upside down. You need to blame him, but we would step forward and help you reduce your taxes. Yeah, right. What they take from one hand and give to the other, you're going to lose change in the center. But Congress would have to approve a suspension of the federal gas tax, and it never has. Pump costs are spiking this week, obviously. According to AAA, $4.48 per gallon on average. But you got to keep in mind the state tax. It does depend on where you live. In California, their tax rate for every gallon of gasoline is above 60 cents per gallon. So whatever they're paying, deduct 60 plus cents in California. That would help the California drivers, would it not? Isn't that where so many Democrats are? Why don't they push through California legislation to strip that money out and save and maybe pick up votes in California? Because they know that would spell disaster. Not just for their party, but for their economy in California. And it's already in a death spiral. In late April, when gasoline prices were lower but still well above $4, a bipartisan policy center estimated that suspending the federal tax could cut retail prices by 9 to 14 cents per gallon. They point out that most, but not all, would get passed along to consumers. That's because suppliers would also take a tax cut. or rather take a cut of that money. And then you add a tax holiday, depending on the duration, it would slash federal revenues used for maintaining the nation's highways. And we still have people in this nation complaining constantly about the price. If it's tough on you, I do feel for you. And if it's tough for you and your business, I do feel for you. But I feel more for our men and women in danger right now, and the world would be in danger if Iran got a nuclear weapon. I can't stress enough to those who are opposed to what we're doing in dealing with Iran. It's not just an oil and gas issue. It's trying to keep them from having a nuclear weapon. You've seen what their terrorists would do with 9/11 and everything else. Do you think they would not use it? Of course they would. California and Illinois, some of the highest combined state taxes everywhere, of anywhere. Maybe you need to go back and remember history to some extent. You continue to let your enemy get away with everything, they will use it against you. I put country above what I'm paying for fuel and anything else. What about you? As always, I appreciate you listening. Spread the word. We'll be back here tomorrow at 6. And remember, with Larry Connors USA, you're also going to get an education. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.